chapter 22. That would be the last chapter in the Bible. You'll be able to find out. You go over there to them maps and start going backwards to your left. Actually, we'll begin reading with verse number 1 this morning. Revelation chapter 22. I'm going to take a thought this morning that people's asked me all my life, ever since I've been preaching, and deal with it this morning. I want you to give me attention. That's the first time I've ever took a whole service and did what I'm getting ready to do right now. Because people have asked me, ever since I've been saved and preaching, somebody will come up to me and they'll say, "Preacher, I want to ask you something." I say, "Sure, you go right ahead." And they said, "Will you answer me?" And I always say, "If it's any of your business." And then they'll I say, "Okay, go ahead." And they'll say, "I want to ask you a question. I don't mean to sound unspiritual, and you're probably going to think I'm awful when I ask you this, but what are we going to do in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? And I don't want you to think bad of me or nothing. I mean, I'm glad I'm saved and I'm going, but I mean, forever? What are we going to do up there?" Now, how many would be honest this morning and admit that that's crossed your mind? Raise your hand. You're sure, most of you have. And if you're just, "Not me, preacher," maybe you're more spiritual than the rest of us. I don't know. But most people have asked themselves that question at one time or another. I will attempt, from the Word of God and my years of experience and common sense, to answer that question. What will we do in heaven? If you're saved, that's where you're going. You understand that? That's your destiny. More sooner than later. You're closer now than you've ever been before. All of us that are saved are going to wind up in heaven one day. The second you get saved, you are predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son in heaven one day. You're not predestined before you're saved. You're known, but you're not predestined until you get saved. Then you're predestined. Predestined in Christ to be just like Him one day. So your destiny is fixed as soon as you get saved. You're going to heaven. You're going to heaven. God's going to get us there. Now the question is, what are we going to do? Here we go. Look at Revelation 22:1. "And He showed me a pure river of water of life." That ain't just normal water. Water of life. "Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month." These fruit trees don't just do it once a year or twice, every month. "And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." They'd be on the new earth, those people. Verse 3, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face." How about that? "They shall see His face." Woo! "And His name shall be in their forehead. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither the light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Amen. I'm going to stop right there tonight, or this morning, read some other scripture in a minute, and preach on what will we do in heaven. I hope you're going to heaven with us this morning, and if you're not, that you'll make sure of that today. As the old preacher said, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Ain't that right? And that's true. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. The question has been asked through the ages. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10, a lot of people say, there's no use even thinking about something like that. You can't know. You can't know till you get there. Some people think they're going to play golf. Some people think they're going to, do this or that. And they said, nobody can know till we get there. And they get that from 2 Corinthians, that scripture, verse 9 and 10. And that verse says, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared to them that love him. But the next verse says, but God hath revealed them unto us. So we get a little glimpse somehow or another of what heaven's going to be like. We do know some things that will be in heaven, and we do know some things that will not be in heaven. I'm talking about where you're going to live, y'all, as soon as you leave this world. So let me just talk about it for a little while. One thing I can tell you for sure, let me get this said up front before I even bring you any points this morning. Let me make sure you understand this. You will never be bored. You will never be disappointed. You will never feel like, what am I going to do now? You will never be ever in any way anything except absolutely perfect and enjoying the city of God that we're going to live in. Now, that being said, let me say this. You understand, in the Bible, there are three heavens. They're not stages of the heaven we go to. Only one of them we go to. The Bible talks about the fowls, the birds, fly in heaven. So you can walk out there this morning and see the first heaven. The firmament. That's where the birds fly, the air blows, clouds. That's the first heaven. Now tonight when it gets dark, you see past that and you see stars and planet and the moon. That's the second heaven. And then when you read this book, we see in there the third heaven. That's what Paul said. He said, I knew a man caught up to the third heaven. Brother, if there's a third, there's a second and a first. And so the first heaven you see by day. You can go out there and see it today. The second heaven you see by night. You can go out there and look tonight and there it is. The third heaven you see by faith. And the song said there's a land that is fairer than day. And by what? Faith. We can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. All right, what are we going to do? I'm looking forward to it. And the first thing we're going to do when we get to heaven, we are going to worship God. We are going to worship God. Amen. Hallelujah. We are going to worship God. Now, just here. We are going to worship God. Now, many people don't know what worship means. People say, well, I go over there to church. I just go to worship service. You can go to Sunday. You can go to church every Sunday and never worship God. You know what worship means? The definition of worship. You better learn because we're going to. The definition of worship is an intense love or admiration for. That means you're just crazy over that. The closest thing you'll see to real worship besides church down here in this world is a rock concert or a ball game. I mean, you see them Duke fans? That is fanatical worship. Them people, they should be investigated. It's a cult. I'm telling you, if we did that in church, they'd lock us up. Amen? Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. If we acted like that in church, they'd say, them people, it's a cult. If we come out here and painted King James on our forehead and screamed and hollered, and they'd think, oh, my goodness, those poor religious. I feel so sorry for those kids. They're raised in that kind of, oh, don't talk to me, buddy. You listen. I'm talking about we're just saved from hell. We're not going to burn in hell forever and ever and ever. We're going to live in a perfect body in a perfect city. What you talking about, man? We're going to get up there and we're going to say, praise God. God, from whom all blessings flow, and say hallelujah to the Lamb that redeemed us from our sins and saved us from hell fire. We're not going to burn in hell. We're going to live forever with the Lord. We're going to worship God. Don't you? Listen, some of you weird people that just sit real still and quiet all the time, you better get practiced up, buddy. You better throw a hand up once in a while. You better kick that pew in front of you once in a while and let her rip and just say hallelujah. Because you think, honestly, do you think we're all going to get to heaven and just sit around like this and sleep? There shall be no sleep there. Some of y'all will hate it, won't you? That's your favorite thing besides eating. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. There ain't no Doritos and couches and video games. Brother, we're going to be wide awake worshiping him that sits on the throne forever and ever and ever. The Bible said in chapter 19 in verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, he said there's going to be a thunder, like a great roar of thunder, but it's people. It's people. That's us. And I mean, you ever heard it thunder real loud? Boom! Like, that's the way our voices will sound in heaven. Amen. Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear. Joy's all singing with heart bells all ringing. Won't it be wonderful there? Brother, when we all get to heaven, we'll shout hallelujah. You know, God made us. One of the reasons He made us was to worship Him. And men are naturally religious, inherently religious. Everybody has a God and everybody worships something or something. If they don't worship the real God, they'll worship themselves or somebody else or a sport or an event or money or their looks or their education or their reputation. They'll worship something. They'll worship politics. They'll worship, everybody worships something. Everybody gets excited over something if you're alive. I'm telling you, when we get to heaven, we will worship God. We will worship God. You know, I've enjoyed reading my Bible probably as much as I ever have this year, just in the last 2 months. And I've been reading it. And sometimes when I read it, I think, you know, God in heaven is up there looking at me. And then He lives in my heart and He wrote this. And I'm reading it. I'm getting it in my eyes. I'm getting it in my heart. When somebody preaches, we're preaching supernatural. Not the preacher, but preaching the Bible is supernatural. It works in your heart. And you know what? This is just a little taste of what we're going to get when we get to heaven and worship God. I'm telling you this morning, I'll never forget, I've told you this over many times. One of the first times I really worshiped, I had a little old MG car when I first got saved. And you take the top down, a little bitty convertible. The closest thing you'd know to it now would be a Miata, like a Mazda Miata about that size. And I'd take the top down on that thing, and I drove that thing all over this county and all over McDowell County. And I'd been saved about 3 months. I still had my rock and roll still. My hair was still long for a little while there. And I was driving down the road, coming down this way from Marion, coming this way. And I got to going down there, and I was going around them curves, coming down 70. And I was going, and I started getting blessed. And I started thinking about going to heaven. And I thought, here I am going to heaven. What about that? I'm not going to burn in hell. My future is fixed. And you know, the more you start, I don't know if you ever noticed this, the more you start getting blessed, the faster you go. I get you in trouble, man. You just start going faster and faster. I was going around them curves. I thought I was going to wreck and get killed. I was flying around, and next thing I knew, I was crying. And big old tears was coming down my cheeks. And I threw my hand up, and I said, hallelujah, Lord. I love you. I thought I was going to blow up. I thought, good night. This feels better than anything I've ever. The year before that is when we had our big basketball team up there. We went to state playoffs down there in Raleigh and all that. And that was fun, but it wasn't nothing like what I felt that day in that little car. I'm telling you, the world can't give you the joy down deep in your soul like being saved can. And I'm telling you, when I get to heaven, that's what we're going to do. Plugged in, there He is on the throne. Worship God. Number two, you know what we're going to do when we get to heaven? We're going to behold all the beauties there. Now, everybody likes to see something pretty. The throne of God. They try to imitate it down here, but they can't. Nothing to compare. The Taj Mahal. Some of these great, beautiful places. The Biltmore House over there in Asheville. I mean, that's a nice, it's all right, I guess. Honest to goodness, it felt a little spooky to me when I was walking around in there. I thought the witch going to come out behind one of them big cases or something. It's pretty, I reckon. I think there's something inside me that still feels like I did when I was about 11 or 12. And don't mess with me. I like staying like that. I don't want to get so grown up I appreciate modern art. I got better sense than that. I'm telling you, it looked like somebody throwed a can of paint up on the side of the wall. Oh, isn't that wonderful? No, you got to get a college degree to think that dumb. I'm telling you something, brother. I'm glad we're going to get to behold the beauties. Listen, we have no idea how beautiful it is. There's some beautiful things down here, and this world's under a curse, but not in heaven. No more curse. They said this little girl was with her mama one day, and they was walking out in the yard, and the sky was blue, and the sun was shining, and the clouds was out. And she said, oh, mama, if heaven's that beautiful on the wrong side, what must it look like on the right side? And I'm telling you, brother, we can see that sun shining bright, those clouds and creation and it's under a curse. And it's just this side. Lord have mercy, what do you think about a city that don't even need the sun? That's 1,500 miles square. There's enough room in the city of the New Jerusalem to build everybody that's ever lived on planet Earth. Huge rooms of thousands of square feet each. And everybody's not going. But there's enough room there for like 70 billion people. 10 times what's on the planet right now. Can you imagine? I read about that mansion over in Switzerland. $155 million value of that mansion. It has several pools, a gymnasium, and its own ski lift in Switzerland. I read about the Hearst Castle out in California, Randolph Hearst. That thing's valued at $191 million. It has 27 rooms. It has, but you know what? If you went out there, you'd see a crack in the concrete. If you went out there looking around, you'd see a scratch on the wall somewhere. And once in a while, there'd be a van pull up, and it'd be the orchid man. He'd have to spray to kill the bugs, and you'd have, you know, you'd have to work on the air condition. And I don't care how good it is down here, brother. Listen, I'm telling you, people, where our mansion up there could not. It's clear. The water of life is clear. It's not polluted. There's no, I mean, there ain't no cow manure in it, and there ain't no bacteria and no germs and no stuff like that in the water. Our mansions, I'm telling you what, we love to see them down here, but what will it be when we get over there? No gnats, no flies, no mosquitoes, no snakes, amen. That's right, buddy, no snakes will ever enter there. No stink bugs, no ladybugs, glory to God, hallelujah, I hate them things. They get in our house every year about this time. I'm reading my Bible. All of a sudden, something goes, get on my head. I go, I can't throw it down. Anybody else got ladybugs? Lord have mercy, them things, little demons. And I'm telling you, there ain't going to be no ladybugs there. Won't it be wonderful there, having no ladybugs there? That's right, brother. Amen. No stink bugs, no cockroaches, no rats, no rat traps. I mean, brother, you talk about, hallelujah, we'll behold the beauty. You talk about beautiful flowers. You talk about beautiful trees. The tree of the, can you imagine a tree on each side of the river that's got 12 different kind of fruits on it? Bananas that long and that big around. Grapes, that's what they did when they went to Canaan land. That's what they did. They had to carry them grapes on their shoulder like that. I can imagine we'll have grapes about as big as a basketball that don't even have seeds in them. They come out automatically. Don't need no seeds. You ain't gonna plant no more. I mean, I'm talking about a watermelon, brother. I mean, that you could just crack with your hand, just stick your face down and just eat your way through. I'll talk more about that in a minute. I'm telling you, brother, we're going to heaven. We're going to heaven, people. We're on our way. Thank God we're on our way. Don't you let this old world cheat you out of your hope. Don't you let them show you something different. There ain't nothing no better than the hope of a child of God going to heaven when we leave this world. Woo! Hallelujah. I can't wait to see the beauties of heaven. Number three, you're going to like this one. We're going to eat from God's table. Now, I heard a preacher the other day, and I heard a preacher preaching on heaven. And he said, now we won't be eating there. I don't believe that. There's more scripture that indicates we will eat than there is. If you got 12 manner of fruits, I mean, if God ain't hungry. If you got 12 manner of fruits, and Jesus in his glorified body, after he rose from the dead, ate fish and bread, and our body's going to be just like his, you say, well, we won't get hungry. I didn't say we'd get hungry. We'll just eat for the pure, blessed fun of it. Golden Corral, get out of here. What are you talking about? Man, I went there the other day. They got that special on, you know. All I do is eat the meat, get my money's worth. Meat and one little piece of broccoli. That was my vegetable. And I got that, and I eat ribs, and I eat that prime rib, and I eat that fish, and all that. But, you know, after two plates of that, I start hurting. And then that evening, I was like, oh, Lord, I'm dying. And then I get heartburn and everything. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the Lord putting out a steak about that big, and in our glorified bodies you just eat all you want to and never have to worry about getting full and never have to worry about getting overweight and don't have to worry about your cholesterol and don't have to worry about your blood pressure? People, come on now. You know good and well y'all like to eat. I can tell. I'm telling you, Lord, have mercy. Nobody in here looks like you're starving to death. I mean, good Lord. I mean, everybody likes to eat. Everybody. I've never met anybody who didn't like to eat. We're going to a marriage supper as soon as we get there. After we get the wrinkles ironed out of our wedding garment and we get the judgment seat over with, I dread that. But after we get that over with, we're going to sit down, brother, and angels and no telling who all is going to be our waiters. Can you imagine us sitting down there, a bunch of rednecks like us, saved in a glorified body? What would you like, sir? Lord, I don't know. Give me a. I always want to know what a Pepsi tastes like. Give me Pepsi. That won't hurt you. I mean, this sugar's glorified. I mean, the carbohydrates are glorified. The caffeine's glorified. I don't know about all that, but it might be. Amen. I'm telling you what. Hallelujah. I mean, some of y'all will get that hallelujah coffee. I'm telling you, just enjoy it. Good Lord, people. I mean, the angels, the Bible said they're ministering spirits. That's what they are. Maybe they'll wait on us. Mr. Castle, can I get you anything else? Well, I've done eat 700 cows, and I've done eat a trout about that long, and I've eat a piece of cheesecake, look just like that right there. All I got to do is look in there, it's red velvet, and that's the color of the icing right there. And I want a piece of red velvet cake about as big as that right there, and a cupcake about as big as my car sitting out there. And, brother, you just eat it, and you don't ever get sick, and just enjoy it. If you want to, all right. If you don't, all right. All you can eat buffet served at the king's table. I'm telling you, brother, I've been to a few fancy restaurants, and the fancier they are, the worse. I hate them. When you go to a restaurant that's so fancy they can't put ketchup on the table, get up and leave. You're wasting your money. You're a sucker. They can't even put ketchup. You have to ask for ketchup, and then they bring you in a little bitty thing about that big. Something wrong with people like that. They think, oh, this is too nice to set ketchup on. If it's too nice to set ketchup on the table, I'll just go back to Hillbilly Bob's barbecue. Amen. I mean, they took me to one in Florida. These people took me out on this big, oh, about the 15th floor, and it's overlooking the bay down there, somewhere down in near Fort Walton. And they said, now, brother, and they had people running around there with violin playing. I thought, good night. People, who do you think you are? You think we're trying to be in the movies or something? Guy going around with a violin. Like, God, here, man, I'm hungry. They took me to one up in Connecticut. I preached up in Connecticut near Hartford, and these people, they were really, really like big shot people. And I can fit in. I can. But I can fit in a whole lot better at the Hillbilly Barbecue. But they set a table out about as long as from here to that organ over there. And they had every kind of shrimp you can imagine. I mean, oysters, everything. And when they give you like three or four different forks, what's that for? I usually don't even use one. How do you eat ribs? How do you eat fish with a fork? That's what these are for. I ate them with my finger. So what I did is I just watched everybody else. And I said, oh, okay, is that what you do with that one? And I said, bring it on, brother. And they put the stuff out there. And it is all right. I mean, it's all right. But I thought, good night, man. You know what? We're going to have one of these days. Good Lord, people. I mean, where there's you don't have to eat your appetizer, then soup, and then the salad. Before they do that, so you'll be full before the expensive stuff comes out. Get you money like that. They say the golden rule is if you go to a restaurant and you can't pronounce it, you can't afford it. So don't order it. That's right. Like old country people when the fish count first opened here. This is honest truth. Up in Spruce Pine, Marion, them old country people come in there and they'd say, I want that flounder fillet. That's the truth. But, you know, I want that Pierce platter or something like that. But hallelujah, brother, we'll have a meal. Amen. We will have a meal. We can eat all we want, as much as we want, and never have to worry about it. Never, ever, ever have to worry about it. I mean, there'll be green beans, baked beans, butter beans, sweet peas, black-eyed peas, turnip greens, steak, country-style steak, fried fried steak, a cube steak, a hamburger steak, fried chicken, barbecue chicken, chicken and dumplings, baked chicken. I mean, we'll have chicken and dumplings at the marriage supper. Lord, all them free. What do you think we're going to have? Tacos? Lord, no. We'll have chicken and dumplings, brother. That's the old traditional meal of the Christians down south. And I'm telling you, we'll have baked potatoes, fried potatoes. I mean, boiled potatoes, white bread, yeast rolls, biscuits and gravy, apple pie, cherry, yum yum, cherry pie. I mean, cheesecake. Let's shut up and go get something right now. How about that? I'm making myself hungry. But I'm telling you, won't it be wonderful when we get over there and sit down at the marriage feast? You say, preacher, is it all going to happen? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. That's what we're going to do in heaven. Quickly, let me say this. You know what we're going to do in heaven? We're going to fellowship with the saints. I've had people ask me over and over and over. I've had people say, don't get mad at me. You might have done this. But it happens. People have been saying, Brother Danny, my grandma died the other day, and I just got to ask you something. What is it? Do you think I'll know my grandma in heaven? And I answered that question so many times, I got me a standard answer every time now. And my answer is, do you think we'll be dumber in heaven than we are here? Duh. We'll have the mind of Christ. I'll tell you something else. You ain't going to just know grandma. You'll know everybody there. Automatically. What about that now? Good night, y'all. Are you listening to me? I mean, just in here this morning, people like to talk, don't they? Don't people like to talk? Now, I don't like to sit around. I ain't going to sit around and talk to somebody because I got some stuff to do. People all the time say, well, why don't you sit down and talk to me? Because I'm going somewhere. But then we'll sit around and shoot the breeze. And brother, people enjoy that. Will we know each other? Yes. And when Moses and Elijah came down on the Mount of Transfiguration, the other disciples knew who it was, like that. Jesus didn't say, there's Moses, there's Elijah. Peter said, let's build a tabernacle for all three of you. They knew who it was. Then we'll know as we are known. Can you imagine the fun of meeting millions and millions and millions? I mean, think about it. My girls come over. Daddy, I want you to come over here and meet somebody. Where are they at? Oh, they live about 1,000 miles on the other side of the city. Okay, bing, we're there. Hey, how are you? And you just meet somebody like that, and you meet them. Say, tell them your story. Well, I grew up in China, and you know, and then missionaries come to our house and preach and everything. Man, you got to tell my, I can't wait for my rest of my family. There's millions of them like that. Talking. Having fun. Testimonies. You say, do you really think everybody going to have... We ain't in no hurry. Ain't going nowhere. Ain't going nowhere. Abraham be there. I want to talk to him. You say, well, there'll be a lot of people wanting to talk to Abraham. Yeah, they sure will. Millions of them. I'm telling you, but I'm going to get to. I was at Abraham. How did you feel that day? When you walked up that hill with your son and you was going to kill him and sacrifice, tell me, would you just, I'd like to hear it. Won't that be something? Who's that guy over there? That's Moses. Moses? Oh my goodness. That's the Moses? Yep. Can I meet him? Well, you just as good as he is. Go over and shake his hand. Meet Peter. Meet James. Meet John. Meet them martyrs I was preaching about the other Sunday. Polycarp. Those that were burned at the stake. And Askew, the young lady who stood for the Lord, Lord, in her 30s, and they burned her to death because she would not celebrate the Mass as the Catholic Church demanded her to do, and stood for God and gave her life as a martyr. John Huss, the Bohemian man who served God, and they burned him to death. I'm going to look up Hall Hollifield, my pastor up there at Nebo, who was pastoring when I got saved. I didn't have enough sense to appreciate it then. I was only 18 years old, but I'm going to look him up. He'd been there several years now. I'm going to talk to him a while. I'm going to look up Joe Parson, the man who preached the revival that I got saved in. And I'm going to say, Brother Joe, thank you, thank you, thank you. thank you for getting up every morning. You didn't have to do that. You could have just made a living and forgot the world. But you got up every morning 4 or 5 o'clock and prayed an hour or two, and the Holy Ghost come down, and I got saved. And I'm here, I want to hug your neck, brother. He'll say, Danny, tell me, how'd the rest of your journey go? And we'll talk, we'll fellowship with the saints. They'll never get bored. They ain't no, I mean, millions and millions of stories. People love to sit around on the front porch and talk and see the family. Yes, hallelujah. We'll fellowship with the saints. Let me hurry now, hurry. Number five, we'll sing praises with a heavenly choir. Don't give me this stuff if I can't sing. You'll sing then, buddy. You'll have a voice will be provided. Said one time, this old woman, she said, well, their Bible said they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I ain't got no teeth. And the preacher said, teeth, ma'am, will be provided. The Lord will provide you some you can gnash with. That's right. That's right. Your voice, everybody can sing in. Can you imagine? My personal favorite singing is a big, full congregation singing in the power of the Holy Ghost and God getting the glory. That's my absolute, absolute favorite kind of song, singing. That's very rare in our day. We're living in a day where the entertainers stand on the stage and the audience, not the congregation, sits out here and it's like Hollywood, a performance. But back in the old days, the church all sang together. I've been in mountain churches where they didn't even have a piano, a player, and brother, somebody just go, and they'd all start saying, sit down while he's doing it. And I mean, God gets so thick in there, you'd have to get a C&I dog to get home. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when we get there and we all blend our voices, you talk about perfect acoustics. I mean, you talk about, Lord have mercy. It ain't going to be none of this. There ain't going to be no rap. There will be no rap singing in heaven. There will be no rock and roll in heaven. You say, how do you know? I got a brain. I know somebody will fuss at me on the internet. But that's because they ain't got no sense. And you say, well, what about? Yeah, I'm fixing to talk about the what about. Ain't going to be no country. And about half the southern gospel won't be there. And most of the hillbilly won't. I tell you, brother, when 100 million people all stand up without a hymn book and gazing at the throne of God, stand up and sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. You talk about singing, you're going to hear some. And it ain't going to be a guitar whining around like a rock singer or somebody beating jungle thunder on drums. All those instruments can, don't go crazy on me, can be used for God, except a saxophone. It's hard. But any other instrument can be used for God. I'm telling you this morning, brother, we're going to sing. We're going to sing Handel's Messiah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's, you know, that's Hebrew. You know, that's a language we'll speak, right? People get mad at you. What do you think we're going to speak? Hick? When God spoke to Paul on the road to Damascus, he spoke in the Hebrew tongue. Paul knew 5 languages. We'll get into that some other time and study it. But anyway, we'll all say hallelujah, same in every language. Number 6, we will reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed at his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand. You know who wrote that? Fanny Crosby. That was back when people wrote about heaven and what's waiting on us when we leave this world. Not like, I love you, I can feel you, I can love you. Not that junk like that. I'd be so glad when we get away from that stupid standing junk like that. Amen, preacher. You say, well, people have different tastes. I know, some people like crystal meth. So what? Brother, the millennial reign, did you know, people's crazy. Barbara Streisand, I hate to ruin this, we're talking about crazy people. She had her dog cloned. Dog cloned. Her dog was dying, she had it cloned. And it can cost between $25,000 and $50,000. To have your dog cloned because she didn't want to lose it. That's border. That ain't borderline. That's already across the line. Insanity. You ain't going to take your dog to heaven. There ain't going to be no dogs in heaven. They like a cat. You need to read the book of Revelation. Without her dogs. God, y'all. How far off can you get? Go get you some bus kids. Forget the dog. Reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. The millennial reign goes right into the eternal reign. And we live with the Lord forever. Number seven, I'm through. Here it is. We shall forever be with the Lord. That's what it says. Now, an interesting verse, Revelation 10:6. You don't have to read it right now, but read it when you get time. Listen to this. I never thought this much till the last few years. I've had people ask me, what did God do all that time before he made the world? I've had people ask me, what were we going to do with all that time? Revelation 10:6 says, the angel, that last angel at the end of the tribulation, when he steps out, time shall be what? No more. So there's not going to be time. That's why when they asked God who he was, he said, I am. He said, I didn't say I was and I'm going to be. He's always now. He's always in the right now. Now you're going to have to ask the Lord to help you understand what I'm getting ready to say. Use your spiritual sense here, what I'm getting ready to say. Before God made the world, there was no time. See, scientists don't understand what time, space, and matter. Everything is time, space, and matter. Time, like it's 30 minutes gone by since I've been up here this morning. Space, it's here. And matter, stuff you can touch. Time, space, and matter. Now, before that, there wasn't no time, no space, no matter. There was just God. And then he made time. See, an evolutionist have a hard time explaining, did time evolve? Time evolved and it works a clock, right? Where'd it come from? What was back there before there wasn't none? See, God is always now. And I know when we sing, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining, we've no less days to sing God's praise. And that's true. When you've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, it'll still be like the first day. The truth is, it'll still be that day. It's always day. There's no night. And they ain't going to be like, well, we've been here 100 million years now. No, it's the first day forever. And it's always now. Now, it's hard for you to, you can't hard for you to wrap your brain around that. But if you'll listen to me, think about it. And that's why people say, oh, it's awful. People in hell forever and ever and ever. There ain't going to be no time there either. It just now. Forever and ever is now. Forever and ever 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 and ever. We ain't going to say, well, we've been here 150 billion years. We'll say, we just got here. That's how good it's going to be. I think about how it's going to be when we forever with the Lord. And we're completely satisfied. No more hospitals. No more medical bills. No more little kids down in them hospitals at Duke and Winston-Salem where I was at the other day. I was at the medical center in Charlotte, Levine Hospital in Charlotte just the other day. See that? One of our bus kids. And the room after room after room after room with little kids in there 5 and 6 years old, tubes running in their head. Mama's standing there crying. Doctor saying there ain't nothing else they can do. There ain't going to be none of that. There going to be no graveyards. There ain't going to be no looking down at your loved ones. Brother Tim sitting over there, his dad, unless the Lord does a miracle, is just not long in this world. He's breathing these last few days with over here in the hospice. Ain't going to be none of that there. My sister, who died with cancer when she's 40 years old, my sister wasn't ever sick. Never. She run races, 3 and 5 mile marathons. Never got sick when she was 35. She got hurt and I went to the doctor and they said, you got cancer. She went through chemo. She hurt so bad my mom had to go stay with her for a while and cook and do the cleaning in the house up there. They lived up on Buck Creek like you're going from Marion to Mount Mitchell up a mountain there. And mom said she'd go across that mountain going to Asheville for her treatments and Sandy'd be over there screaming. She's hurting so bad. Won't never get a morphine shot. She said she screamed. And I saw my mom wait on her, and I'd go visit, and she'd say, now, Danny, you better come see her. And I was preaching somewhere every night And it just happened to be the 4th of July, the week I wasn't preaching nowhere. She died on the 4th of July. She just turned 40. And she's laying there, her body, her arms wasn't that big. And her face is all sunk in. And Daddy, he held a popsicle there and just tried to wet her lip, tried to get her to eat something. She hadn't eaten for like 2 weeks. My mom sat there I went down and laid in the hallway and laid down and took a nap. And all of a sudden I heard Mom screaming. Aah! Just like that going down through the hall. And I knew she's gone. They called the paramedics. And Sandy told me, she said, Danny, I want you to say this and say this at my funeral. And I said, I will. And she wrote a song, wrote a poem, all kind of stuff like that. And I got to thinking about how she hurt. And then the Bible said there be no more pain. Ain't going to be no more pain. No more pain. We'll never get sick. We'll never be scared to go to the doctor. We'll see the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No murdering, no lying, no cheating, no stealing. People, that's where we're going. That's what we're going to do in heaven. We'll forever be with the Lord. Said one time, this girl, little girl, she had to walk from a school bus. They let her out and she had to go through a graveyard. And it started getting dark early. And the sun has almost gone down. And she had to walk through that graveyard. And one day it was real late and it was almost dark. And they said, honey, ain't you scared to go through that graveyard? And she said, nah, my house is just right on the other side. She told her preacher, her dad, and he liked to shout. He said, glory to God. He said, one of these days they're going to take us out there. And they're going to lay us down in one of them holes in the ground. But ain't nothing to be afraid of. Our home is just on the other side. Glory to God. Hallelujah, people. That's where we're going to wind up. Lord have mercy. If I don't shut up, I'm going to have a shouting spell this morning. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the crowd beyond the grassy sea? We'll join our loved ones and praise Christ forever. I like that song says, will you meet me over yonder where the happy millions dwell? Will you meet me over yonder? Are you going? I like that song. This is just what heaven means to me. Noah's going to get it ready. And I want you to listen to this song. Vestal Goodman. Back years ago, people sung songs about heaven. Not me, my feelings. You are my wonderful. You are my, my grass, my car. They sung songs about heaven. And the book. And where we're going. I want to ask you to stand, please. I want to ask you to stand. He's going to sing that song. They're going to play that song. That's Estelle Goodman. She's there now. I always like to hear them sing it. This is just what heaven means to me. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go to heaven? If you died on your way home, do you know for a fact that you'd go to heaven? I wonder if some people here this morning might need to just get out of your seat and come down here and say, Lord, help me to get my eyes off this world. I've been getting my eyes too much on this world. Money, cars, clothes. Yeah, I mean, you got to work. We got to make a living. But just remember, this ain't it. It's up there. Go ahead. Maybe you need just...
Country, where no twilight shadows deep
ahead. Listen to these words.
On empty days where night will never be.
Yeah, come on. Did you feel that this morning? Did you feel that pull from another world? Did you feel just for a minute here this morning, we can get our eyes off of things down here and up on what's waiting on us? Lord, we're privileged, elite people in this world because we're saved by the grace of God. It's all true, folks. And neither is it in the heart of man. I can't even describe it. I just described it a little bit this morning. It's 10,000 times greater. Anything you have down here, there's nothing like what we're going to have when we get over there. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you this morning. We're going to go ahead and pray and let you go. Be back 6 o'clock this evening.